This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine. Welcome back, everyone. I hope you are enjoying our wonderful conversation with a winemaker, Greg of Godin Wines, a family business, a family that is fully invested into making this amazing, delicious wines from Lodi, California. And in the first part, we talked about the family, the history, the roots, the winemaking, etc. And in the second part, we are going to talk more about the wines, wine and food pairing, and hopefully get you really excited and interested in going and trying these wines. Thank you, Greg, so much for a wonderful story. I love hearing the story, stories of how the wineries start, how people get interested into the wine, and all the details. So we talked about where your winery and the grapes are coming from Lodi. And what are the varietals? How many wines you make and how many wines did you start with? You mentioned that first one was a Zinfandel, but then you switched it to another varietal.
Yes, absolutely. So the varietal that kind of ushered in the aha moment, it's a varietal I like. It actually echoes back to my experience with the way you said with my friend, what I tried to, it wasn't exactly the same varietal, but the varietal that I started experimenting with is a Malbec. And my first commercial varietal was a Malbec in 2016. We submitted it, won an award for it. So that was the beginning. So commercially, Malbec, we currently produce four wines, right? And the wines are as follows. There's a Viognier, which is a white, Malbec, which is a continuation from the beginning, a Zinfandel, which is kind of the full circle from the first thing I've ever made to now, and Lodi is known for Zinfandels, of course, right? And then there's also a rosé of Malbec, which I made because I was experimenting with how to segment into the rosé market as well. So those are the four. In between, there was also an experiment with Mourvèdre, with a Grenache, and with Syrah. These are all varietals that one day I might come back to, but that was in the past.
I wanted you to take a little bit, maybe a teaching approach right now and tell us what is Malbec, where it comes from, and the Viognier and the Zinfandel. You know, just give a little bit more understanding for some who have never heard about the varietals and what to expect from them. And then why did you you mentioned why you wanted the Malbec, but maybe a little bit more information. Why did you decide to do that as a first commercial vintage?
Yes. So Malbec, everybody nowadays, when you drink a Malbec, you're 90% of the time you're going to be drinking it from Mendoza in Argentina. They're phenomenal with it. It's become the Argentinian grape. Originally, it's from the region that it's in France. It's called Côte. There's a kind of a south of Bordeaux region that currently carries that, the Cahors being the name of the region that carries the Malbec as its kind of birthplace. Side note, before the phylloxera wiped it out of Bordeaux, little warning there, Bordeaux's out of the, I believe, 60 Grand Cru estates, 41 were predominantly Malbec. So it was like in the 19th century, early 19th century, it was like the grape of Bordeaux. Currently, it is one of the five blending grapes of Bordeaux that made its way into Argentina and then was wiped off in, France. So for the longest time, people thought that Malbec might have had its day. Yeah, it was gone. But then figured out that everything that Argentina is nuts about and loves, it actually is the rebirth of a Malbec, the same Malbec that was brought in from Bordeaux. So that's the story of Malbec. Why did I get entangled with it? I find it rather fascinating. It's an amazing, it's a mid to full bodied wine, right? You could make it in any different style. In Argentina, they make it a little bit heavier. My particular approach is a little bit lighter. 13.5% is my Malbec, and it's an overall phenomenal pairing wine, and it blends very well to the California terroir. So this wasn't just an arbitrary choice. It was a choice that I made by kind of tasting. Like, so you go around Napa, Sonoma, all over California, yeah, the predominant producers would be like, you know, Pinot Noir, you have, you know, Merlot, Cabernet, and, you know, Zinfandel, right? But a lot of people have Malbec in their repertoire, and I would always taste it. I'm like, you guys, the Malbec is good, and it's very good, you know what I mean? And then I started to kind of reach out around here when I was learning to make Malbec wine, and there was a local grower that was a phenomenal grower of Malbec, so the kind of the story just kind of intertwined. Then the second vintage was outside of the Malbec. My first white was a Viognier. Similar story to the Malbec, right? So I was looking for something that was outside of the, you know, the Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc realm, because I want to differentiate myself, right? And I like the aromatics from a Viognier. For those that don't know what a Viognier is, it's a Rhone varietal, Rhone being where Syrah, Grenache, Mourvèdre come from, in the Rhone River Valley of France, southern France. Currently, like, Paso is known for a lot of the GSM, so there's a lot of Viogniers there. Edna Valley, Alban Estates is one of the most prolific Viognier producers. But what a Viognier is essentially it's an aromatic, heavier white from the Rhone Valley. Also a survivor grape, so both first grapes were kind of almost not to be. Viognier is sometimes blended with Syrah in the Côte Rôtie area of the northern Rhone. Hopefully this is not too much for the audience, but
interesting. White wine is blended with the red wine. I mean, to make what? To give aromatic flavors, to enhance color.
Yeah, to give a, not so much on the color side, because, you know, Syrah doesn't have a problem with color. Plus, it's a white wine, but it's definitely the aromatic pop. And some places go as little as, you know, 1-3%. Some places go heavier, you know. So, and as a matter of fact, I've been now seeing a lot of Viognier blending slowly coming up on recipes around the blends of California. There's a rosé producer that one day I'll introduce you to, Anush, and they put a little bit of a Viognier blend into their rosé. So I'm very, very happy that my Viognier program in the future will have other uses. But the rosé that the Viognier I currently make is Viognier can be made in two styles. You can make it a little bit kind of quote unquote heavier, buttery, right? Mine is more acidic and crisp. It doesn't go through malolactic, which is a secondary fermentation. It's just I want it to be a clean, fresh representation of what that grape can do. And what that grape does, it does an amazing aromatic bouquet. That's where the allure for me was, is the nose. It's the floweriness. It's the stone fruits that come off of it. That's something that I love about Viognier and how well it pairs with a multitude of foods. It goes well with spicy foods. It goes well with a lot of the Mediterranean-style foods. You know, kebabs will go well with it. It's a white that can kind of straddle a little bit through different kind of sectors. It doesn't have to be as pigeonholed as something like we would say, like, you know, Sauvignon Blanc. You got to be careful what you pair with it. Viognier could be a little bit rougher. It goes very well with shellfish. Think about anything like kind of like, you know, like a like when you're doing the crab feed, I would pair a Viognier to that.
I'm getting so hungry just from listening to all this. Delicious.
Next, obviously, and was the
With the hot weather stream that we had, you're describing a Viognier, a white wine that you can chill, has nice aromatics, you know, fragrant white peaches, white flowers, mm-hmm. with crabs, with oysters. I'm like, I want it right now.
Yes, it is. It's a very versatile, very fun, very very lively white wine. And obviously, the next one that was always on my mind, obviously, I was, obsessed about Malbec. My Malbec program is going to continue evolving. But Zinfandel, being in Lodi, having such amazing connections with amazing growers, I selected a vineyard. It's an old vine Zin. For those that don't know, when Zinfandels are known to grow, you know, like 50, 60, 70 to 100 years old and more, and the trunks become thicker and the berries are less so. And it's a dry farm vineyard as well, so that the root structure needs to kind of I don't want to say suffer, but kind of fend for the water, right? And the concentration of the berries.
What does it mean, dried farmed?
Refined. Dry farming. So actually, sorry. To be honest with you, dry farming means no water at all. What my particular vineyard is reductive watering. So that particular vineyard saw 2 days of watering in the past, I believe, 10 years of its existence, of 50 years of its total existence, right? So this particular, there's like almost no water use. So what you're doing is you're training the roots to search for water, okay?
What does it do to the grapes?
You know, grow thicker. It concentrates the berries. It's a little bit less of a production, right? So dry farmed vineyards typically don't produce per acre. Their tonnage is not the same, but the concentration and the ripeness is so much better. So it's a better berry. So it's a better fruit.
Amazing. I mean, that's a risk and that's a sacrifice that the vineyard is willing to take, but to produce such a good quality of the grapes. So you have a Zinfandel, and you have also a rosé.
Yes. So, sorry, a little bit about the Zinfandel. For those people that don't know, the Zinfandel was, for the longest time, was thought of as the most Californian of varietals. In my opinion, still is. They did identify that it has a cousin where it came from, which is Primitivo, and Černjak Kastelanski is another one in Croatia. So those two are actually different cousins from the Zinfandel. But by and large, if you look on the map, who produces Zinfandel today, it's 99% California. So hence why this is the most Californian varietal. And this is your quintessential, typical California-style Zinfandel that you pair well with meaty dishes, barbecues. You can have it by itself. The rosé, yes. The rosé was the next iteration. The rosé was a rosé of Malbec. And it's kind of the entry point to the rosé market. It's a heavier rosé than some of the typical ones. You could see the concentration when you buy my rosé. It's a little bit on the darker side, like a deep salmon color, but nonetheless phenomenal aromatics. It's got a little bit of the green apple touch to it, which is obviously not the same as what a Malbec was, but a rosé of Malbec is essentially a different wine altogether. So very proud, very, very kind of enthusiastic about this array of four wines that we currently pack, on top of the two that we've released previously. So the Viognier is our second iteration. The Malbec this year is our second iteration. And the Rosé and the Zinfandel are our first entry points, as a commercial wine company.
Congratulations. So, that sounds like such a good lineup of the wines. Very diverse, pretty much, something for everyone, to try. If you are into the white, you can try the white, and if you are in the red, rosé, different styles of the red, Zinfandel versus this. I was gonna say if the rosé is a fuller body, which I haven't had a chance to taste it yet. I'm going to taste it on Sunday, and I just wanted to quickly show listeners know that. I do some live shows on my Facebook page, and Greg and Rose of Godin are going to join, and we're going to do a live tasting. So if someone is listening, is curious to check it out, maybe purchase it now and then get it. I'm not sure if they'll get it in time, but we will talk about the rosé and Zinfandel and the white. Right. But if the rosé is fuller body, then it definitely would be so perfect for Thanksgiving. Because when you think of rosé, you think of a summer wine, or that's at least how it has been portrayed. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think rosé is so versatile. You can drink it all around the year. And if it's a fuller body, I can just see it perfect with a turkey and the cranberry sauce.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the hints, so for example, one of the things that is a very kind of become a quintessential Thanksgiving wine, right? And it has similar notes to my rosé because, you know, Chardonnays are oftentimes paired with turkey, right? Because Chardonnay is a, you know, versatile white, right? As is Viognier. This rosé is kind of, you know, packs the same punch. I'm excited about what's happening in the world of rosés, because rosés are getting the call and the respect that they always should have had, right? But before it was kind of like what is this? Is this a red wine? Is this a white wine? Where does it straddle, right? Now it has its own kind of lane, and there's so much that's evolving from the rosé world. And for example, everybody thinks, yo, rosé, you should drink it fast. Now they're discovering that some of the southern French rosés, you can drink them after they've been bottled for 10 years or more. So, I mean, it's an evolving world. I'm happy to be a part of it. Yes, our rosé will be a phenomenal hit at the Thanksgiving table in a few months. It's also good now. You know what I mean? It's also good for a little bit later. You could have it chilled, or you should have it chilled, and it will definitely kind of hold its own if it's not super cold as well. You know, so it's a phenomenal product. I'm happy that I decided to kind of step into the rosé world. I'm curious what we'll bring next, because I think rosé is here to stay, and I appreciate how the market is responding to the rosé.
Tell us, Greg, how can we purchase your wines, and where is it available? Through website, through any of the stores? What are the channels of getting it?
Yes, thank you for asking. We're self-distributed. You know, we're a small boutique winery. You can purchase our wines through our website, carinwine.com being the URL. You can also reach out to me. I have no problem answering any phone calls. My number is 925-216-2810. You can also send an email if you want to maybe negotiate like a larger purchase. It's info@carinwine.com. There are also restaurants and establishments that started to carry us, but you know that story is a little bit different given the nature of everything that's happening with COVID. There is a slight list of establishments here in the Bay Area, Northern California, and a few spots in Southern California. But by and large, we are self-distributed through our website. Currently, we distribute to four places in the United States: California, Florida is one of them, Washington, D.C. is another one, and Minnesota. So those are the four places where we're licensed to distribute. But our focus is California, by and large.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the URL is carinwine.com, carinwine.com.
And it's K-A-R-E-E-N, wine.com.
Double E-N-N-wine.com, yeah.
Greg, do you have any wine subscriptions, wine club, wine newsletters?
Yes, so we currently have a newsletter, and we are forming a wine club. It's actually Rose is in charge of this, and she will be releasing the details of that shortly. It's something that we want to kind of offer on a kind of a more of a recurring basis, and it will be phenomenal to have that base of people that are giving us a thumbs up. We have a very nice following already, and I just want to kind of solidify that with a club, and that will be unrolling this coming fall.
Mm-hmm. What are the future plans besides the wine club? I know that you guys had a lot in plan before the 2020 pandemic happened, but you know, I think plans should stay. But why don't you share with us?
Yes.
What are things to come?
Yes, and briefly, you know, by and large, what we want to do is we want to kind of establish our own estate, right? But for the most part, what we want to do is we want to increase production while keeping our quality at the current level, which is what the feedback is that the crowds are loving it. So I want to kind of concentrate on that. At some point, maybe a project in Armenia would be good. But here in the United States, obviously, you know, sell, form a club, increase the following, increase production, and the estate would be the next phase of what we want to do. Restaurants were a big part of our footprint into the roadmap, and we are still exploring that. But given the nature of COVID, things had to be reworked, and the website now is the main kicker.
Mm-hmm. All right, Greg, thank you so much for joining. I know you have a busy schedule, and thank you for sharing your story. I'm looking forward to our conversation and live tasting for me to taste all the wines that you sent me on Sunday. And for those who are interested, find me on Facebook, Anoush O'Connor, and then you can join us. Thank you, Greg. We wish you lots of success. Until next time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you giving me time.